Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. Many of you will already know that for this program, I have Susie Ward with me, who has kindly agreed to be interviewed. And I will therefore, without further ado, say welcome, Susie Ward.
Hello, hello Mike. It's lovely to be with you today.
That's great. Now, before we really get started, can I ask you something that I'm sure many, many listeners who follow Matthew's messages would like to know is, firstly, how is your move going? And secondly, have you any idea at this stage when the next Matthew message might come out?
Okay. The move is at a standstill. 2 days before our household goods were to be picked up, we heard that the buyer's lender had gone bankrupt. So we granted their request to extend close of escrow until October 17th to give them time to come up with a different funding source. So we are trusting that they will be able to do that, but in the meantime, since the sellers of the home that we had hoped to buy would not grant our extension, and that's fine. Maybe it's a lesson for us in detachment. But at any rate, we're living out of cartons in a rather sparse environment, but our five dogs don't seem to mind this. And I'm really quite amazed at Bob's and my total peacefulness about this, you know, the uncertainty.
Yes, yes.
So, now, your other question. When might there be Matthew's next message?
Yes.
I don't know. Just a couple of days ago when we were walking with our dogs, well, to back up just a moment, Matthew and I chat at various times throughout the day. You know, I can just ask him something and he answers, or he pops in with his own comments.
Yes.
And he popped in with, Mother, I believe that we should wait, even though this is unexpected free time for you. I think that we should wait, give you a chance to be relaxed from the long, long, long time of, you know, the pressures. I'm not saying pressures in the context of fear or anxiety or fatigue, but just the pressure of the amount of work that is involved in keeping up with the books, the messages, emails, my other projects that are also related to spiritual information. So he said, rest. Enjoy this respite.
Yeah.
He said, because the time will be coming fairly soon when all the activity is going to get on the fast track again.
Yeah.
And there would be another considerable interruption in the messages. And he said, really, at this point, there is not a great deal that he could add to his most recent messages.
Right.
And certainly, the one from God that was the bulk of the latest message, August 1st. I mean, really, that sort of says it all.
Right. So he was referring to your need, I suppose, to get yourself fully fit and energized and ready for all the problems that you get, which are associated with moving anyway. I mean, you've got that to come, haven't you?
Yes. Yes, we do. And, yeah. You know, there's some excitement about it. I'm sure that I'm having a lot of unseen light helpers, because it did come as a shock, Mike. We thought everything was set.
Yeah,
and
yes,
then to just have that bomb drop. I think I have a great deal of Pollyanna. I don't know if you understand that, but Pollyanna was a young woman, fictional, who could find silver linings in everything. And so Bob and I are finding silver linings in this this break.
Yeah. That's a great attitude. And to be honest, worrying about it or getting stressed up doesn't help one bit anyway, does it?
Oh, absolutely not, Mike. Not in any situation at all, really. If we can look for the positive aspects in any situation, they are there.
Yes. Oh, that's lovely. Now, I'd like to tell you something that relates to your coming onto the program. I now notify my subscribers each week and tell them who I'm interviewing. And as a response to telling them about your appearance on the program, I had an email from a gentleman who is deaf. And he said, I'd love to know all about it and sort of in effect hear the interview, in inverted commas. He said, is there anybody who could make a transcript so that I could read it? So what I did, I sent another email out asking if any of my subscribers were in fact doing that and could help. Now, this is, I'm coming to the point now. I had a reply from a lady called Florence Chapgear, and she said, I will try and make a full transcript. This might make you smile. She said, I hope Susie will not talk too fast. And then she said, will you give her a big hug for me? So you can consider yourself having been hugged, Susie.
Well, how wonderful of Florence to do that.
Yes.
Florence, I send you my blessings and love and gratitude for your willingness to do that.
Yes, it's nice, wasn't it?
It is.
I wouldn't be surprised if she's the only one who will offer, but at least this person will get to know what happened or what was said during the interview, and there could possibly be others that are interested anyway.
Well, I'd better say something really important then, Mike.
Yes.
Or that gentleman will think, oh, my dear Florence wasted her time. And I don't want that to happen.
No. Right, now, I did ask you at some time how many subscribers you had, and it's obviously not a surprise to learn that you have thousands of people from different sources that subscribe, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if wherever one message goes out, possibly another one or two people get to read it or make a copy anyway. So I get a very strong impression that Matthew is very much loved and followed by many, many people, probably far more than you and I could imagine. So I think that's very nice. He's made a very big impression. Now, how and when did the first contact with Matthew take place?
I'm sorry, Mike, did you say how and when?
Yes. When in date-wise, and how did it actually occur? I mean, you've mentioned to me that you can talk to Matthew whenever you like, but presumably there must have been an occasion when you were first aware that Matthew could contact you that way. In other words, was it very long after he passed on?
It was. It was almost 14 years. He died in 1980, April 17th, and it was either the last day of January or the 1st of February in 1994.
Right.
The way it came about, and not very many people know this, is that just about four evenings before that occurred, I was sitting at our kitchen table and wondering what I was going to do with my life. I wanted so much to do something worthwhile to help Earth, and I didn't know what to do. And just suddenly, I felt something the equivalent of being hit by a steamroller, I guess. And it just intuitively, I said, "Hatan," and he boomed forth with yes. He said something like, "You say you want to help Earth, and you're not doing a thing about it. You know you've been given a suggestion how to get in touch with Matthew, and you're not doing a thing about it. Now get started."
Yes.
Okay. That was really profound. So the next morning, I did follow a suggestion that had been given to me, and that was to write a note to Matthew, just a short note, like any mother would write to her son that she hadn't seen for a little while, and, you know, "I'd love to know what you're up to. Please get in touch soon," you know, that sort of thing. Okay, for the first two times, nothing happened. But I had been told, "Don't be discouraged. Eventually, you will hear," and "hear" is probably the best word to use there, "thoughts that are not your own. It will be like a parallel line of the thoughts that are not yours along with the thoughts that you are putting on paper."
Right.
So it was on my third, and it may have been the fourth, note on the fourth morning, and I wrote, you know, "Dear Matthew," and then I heard, "Mother, write what I'm telling you." And
yes,
that was just, it was such a marvelous shock that it broke the energy, is what it did. So fortunately, Matthew brought me back online. So to speak, back online, back into our connection, our energetic connection, and said something about record at the computer. So I started doing that, and it was amazing, Mike. What I had heard from readers now and then, well, quite often for a while, but after that, the dear woman who was my major connection with Matthew became very sick and couldn't do that any longer. But it was just little snippets of information about what he was doing, and he would also say enough about what was going on in my life to let me know that he was totally aware of what I was doing. This was not like that. This was just running on conversations. I mean, at a conversational pace with inflections, and he would send me images of himself in his surroundings, images with our dogs that had left us years before, some of whom Matthew knew himself, and others who came to us after he had left. And so I was recording all of this fascinating information.
Right, yes.
In fact, the first book, Matthew Tell Me About Heaven, is a selection of our verbatim conversations during the first, only 3 or 4 weeks after we connected. And if anyone has taken typing classes, I think that they can relate to this. It's the instructor stands at the head of the class, and all the students type exactly what they're hearing. And that's what this was. And another interesting aspect of this is that Matthew, and all my other sources as well, knew what I was thinking and what I was feeling. And he would just go ahead and answer my questions without my typing them.
Yes, that's nice. Yeah.
It is a fascinating experience.
Absolutely, yes. Did you know already at that stage that there would be a continual contact with him, and the information you were getting would be put into book form as you went along?
No, I certainly did not know that at the beginning. And one thing I would like to mention, because it is has a direct bearing on Matthew's and my telepathic connection. The way that I, well, one way that I was trying to cope with my grief was getting readings from mediums or psychics.
Oh, yes.
A bit less than a year. Well, around just before Christmas time, so that would have been about 8 months after Matthew died. I had a dream about him, and I had been told by a friend who is a psychic medium. She told me this right after Matthew died. He will send you an unmistakable message when he is ready to connect with you. All right, the connection was not with me, but I was led to three excellent mediums. I found out I was led to them. And in addition to their giving me information that was so relevant, I could relate to everything. It was not general. It was so specific that I knew it was Matthew. And each of them told me that when the time was right, Matthew and I would speak directly. Now, they never said what the purpose was.
Right,
but and as I mentioned before, it was almost 14 years before we did make that connection. Never gave up hope that it would happen. But at that time, I thought that telepathic communication was a very rare gift. Since then, I have found out that every one of us has this capacity as our birthright. It is an ingredient of our soul. But we don't know this. In fact, there are some religions that teach us it's fine to talk with God, But if you get any answers, those are from Satan. So of course, with that outlook on it, either total unawareness that we have it, or that dire warning, we are putting up an energy barrier against our telepathic connections operating. Okay, and one more bit of advisory on that point. Now that Earth has moved into higher vibrations, and people's consciousness is raising, at least in some cases, in a lot of cases, it is.
There
is an awakening going on. We need to be aware that entities of both the light and the dark are very eager to communicate with us and influence us. So it is necessary to ask for the protection of the Christ light and demand that only light beings may contact us.
Yes, I agree.
So, to get back to the other part of your question, Mike, about when did I find out that the purpose of Matthew's and my communication was meant for more than just my joy. But it was, even though he mentioned numerous times during the first 6 months when I was receiving information from him and from many, many other sources as well, he would say, "Mother, please start the book." Well, the other side of this is that on several occasions I asked him why he left us at such a young age, and he was always evasive. So about 6 months after we first spoke, I asked him again about why he had left so soon, and he was evasive, and he told me, "Mother, please start the book." So I asked him if this was, you know, did I have some karmic responsibility to do this? And he said it was really more than that. That in the family's pre-birth agreement, he and I agreed that he would leave so that he could describe life in the world that we call heaven. And others also would send very important information for people to know. And that I had agreed that I would receive all of that and prepare it for publication. So that was a terribly, terribly traumatic revelation for me.
Absolutely, yes.
And it is mentioned in the first book that I could not accept that my son had died for a book. But nevertheless, I had to accept, okay, I you know, that happened at a time that I don't remember, but if that was our agreement, then I'll follow through.
Yeah.
And I had a stack, I'll bet, of a 2-foot-high stack, because I printed out everything.
Gosh.
And of course, it was all in my computer as well. And since I had no intentions of ever doing anything with that material other than just my enlightenment and my joy at receiving it, and frankly, everything that I heard was so mind-boggling anyway that I just had to read it again and again to be able to try to assimilate it. But then I spent a great deal of time trying to organize it and index it and get it into some sort of form that would be readable. I don't mean I changed the information, but I certainly had to go through every single file, Word file, and cut and paste, and so on and so forth.
Gosh, that was some task.
Oh, it was a huge, huge challenge. Of course, if Matthew had told me right at the beginning, I'm not going to say anything more to you unless you organize the material as we go, because it's to be a book. Oh, well, there's no point in speculating on what I would have done differently. But at any rate, the first book, as I just mentioned, that came from, and that was so personal. It was, personal to me and to Matthew. But shortly into our daily sittings, as I call them, he started giving me information that, he sounded like a professor giving a lecture.
Yes.
And that's when I did have some doubts, in the beginning. Is this my imagination? Because I have wanted so long, so much to hear from Matthew. Maybe finally something clicked in my mind, and this is all my imagination, both sides of this. But when he started sounding like a professor and introduced the representatives from such powerful and vast civilizations that there's no way I could have imagined the kind of information they were giving me. So the second book, Revelations for a New Era, that book is so different in content from the first because it is all that erudite information about energy and how it works and the spiritual hierarchy, the soul, those civilizations, their history, why they came to share their history, to tell us really how we fit into the universal family. It's just, Mike, I know that you, because of all the information you have received, that this isn't a revelation to you. In fact, it's confirming what you have received yourself.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking that your listeners may appreciate knowing that you and I and a number of other sources who are receiving from the light, from light beings, highly evolved beings, that their messages to us are giving the although they differ in their speaking styles,
yeah,
and they have specialties just like we have specialties here on Earth that give us talents and skills and prepare us for different types of jobs. The highly evolved beings also have their areas of specialty, and so they tell us about the things that they know the most about. And so the messages may differ in some of the subjects that they tell us about, but they are the very same in what is going on Earth.
Right.
And who we are. And they give us the very same encouragement about the changes that are taking place and the results that we are, some of us are seeing, the very, very positive results, even in what appears on the surface to still be war and other types of violence and corruption and deception. But the very fact that now we are seeing this coming out publicly, even though our media are still largely controlled, it is coming out. All of the dark intentions and the dark plans are being exposed so that we are aware of them, and we are receiving so much help from extraterrestrial sources. And in some cases, it's the representatives of those advanced civilizations who are living right here among us, helping us here, as well as the intensity of light that is being beamed to Earth from off-planet sources, and the use of their technology. I mean, the assistance we are receiving is just, well, it is so phenomenal, so huge, that it's, well, it's difficult for us to relate to it because we can't imagine technology of such advancement as what the civilizations are using. May I mention a few ways, Mike, that technology is helping us? For one thing, Earth has demanded that there will be no more terrorist acts on the scale of 9/11. And so God has authorized other civilizations to use their technology to stop all efforts. And since 9/11, there have been at least a dozen attempts at terrorist acts as great as that or greater. And all of them have been thwarted by the ET technology. Now, Creator, who is the supreme being of the cosmos and is different from God, some of us call the supreme ruler of our universe God, Creator is different. Creator is the one who gave free will. And so the gods or the supreme rulers of the various universes have to obey Creator's law of free will. Only Creator can make any changes in its own laws. And so the change was made that there will be no more nuclear detonations in space because of the damage it does to souls. Now, we're not talking about physical bodies here. We are talking about souls. So at any rate, there will never be any nuclear wars anywhere in the cosmos from now on. But getting us back to our own universe, the technology is being used to reduce to the extent possible the effects of radioactivity. Now, this includes depleted uranium and the toxins in acid rain and chemtrails, the toxic waste that has seeped into underground water and that is just being dumped in rivers or lakes and oceans. And so, well, really, all the pollution in the air, in the soil, and in our water. Let me see what else they're doing. Oh, yes. This is a time of accelerated geophysical events. This is necessary. It is part of Earth ridding herself of all the negativity that has been developed as a result of humankind's inhumanity to each other and to the animals and to Earth herself.
Yeah.
And all of that negativity has been stored as energy, and, well, everything within the cosmos is energy, vibrating at one frequency or another. And so all of this stored energy has to be released. And Earth's way of doing this is through geophysical events. The ET technology is leveling out earthquakes and volcanic eruptions so that still the same amount of energy is released, but it's leveled out over a vast area instead of total devastation in a smaller excuse me please a smaller area. They're also directing it to areas of less population to minimize the death toll and the destruction to the to properties.
Yeah.
So, Mike, I think it's your turn to ask me another question, perhaps.
Right. I thought I was going to need plenty of questions, but I'm getting on fine here. I must say, just to go off at a tangent slightly, I had a quick look through Illuminations for a New Era, and I had to smile to myself when I read one part where you were taking a message from God, and he sort of stopped short in the middle of it and suggested you fed your dogs. I couldn't help laughing at that one.
Oh, yeah. I know. The thing is, we have been oriented to believe that God is so distant that he would never talk to us. Some churches have put so many layers of priests and saints and between us and God.
Yes.
And well, that's, you know, that's by dark design, of course. But each of us is a part of God. And hearing God talk with us is as natural as our talking with our families and then our friends. God is so personable, has a marvelous sense of humor, and as a part of us, it's, if we can just think in that sense, that each of us is a god or goddess, and collectively, we are God. And this is a case where the sum. Oh, you hear my dogs?
Yes, I knew we were talking.
Okay, I'm sorry. Some of them were lying in here so quietly, Mike, and so I just let them stay. That is why God said, "Go feed your dogs."
I think a lot of people have understood that, not only from the times you've channeled God, but also, of course, more latterly, Neil Donald Walsh's books. They must have surprised a lot of people in the way in which he could actually talk to God and have perfectly normal discussions and, if you like, arguments and criticize things, and it was perfectly normal.
It is. I mean, it is. If there are any listeners who have read my conversations with God, it's in Illuminations, and then there are more in the fourth book, Voices of the Universe. But they realize that it is so natural to say, "God, I don't think you answered my question," or "I really don't like the way that is." You know, right to do this. It is. It is natural. It is. It's not in any way something that God would not understand. God not only knows our every thought, he feels our every feeling. And how could he not? He is us. He is each one of us. And his long message that was dated August 1st and is posted on my site. May I mention the site?
Yes, of course.
Okay. www.matthewbooks.com. And in the menu is Matthew's Messages. And that takes you to all the messages that are listed there by date and topics.
Right.
And God's message is, it is so God to be that casual, jump around saying, start on something and then say, I'll get back to this later, but it reminds me of something else I want to say here.
Yeah.
And it is so human. And why not?
Indeed.
Yeah.
Right, something else that I would like to refer to is just going back really a little bit to something you mentioned before that I think our listeners would like to hear about is the message that appeared mysteriously on your computer. Do you know what I'm referring to?
Oh, I do. All right, Mike. All the books are packed. I can't believe this, but they are. Otherwise, I would read it because it is such a short message. However, it appeared. Excuse me, please. It was at the time that Matthew finally told me why he had died, and the trauma I felt there was even worse than the shock and the grief when his father called and told me that Matthew had died. Because this time, not only was it that fresh grief all over again, it was rage that I could not believe that I ever would have agreed to letting my son die for any reason, let alone a book.
Yeah.
And I sobbed, I raged. When I finally opened my eyes, I mean, they were so full of tears that I could barely see my monitor. And yet, there was a very short message. And I hate to paraphrase anything, but the gist of it was that I had a very valuable mission to perform.
Yeah.
And I really don't remember what else now it was. The thing is, I didn't type it. I couldn't have.
No.
And it was signed. Well, it did. I remember now. It did start off with, "This is not Matthew."
Yes.
And it was signed, "I am that I am."
Yeah.
And I didn't know how that message got there until a few years later, when God told me that he did it.
Yeah.
And I don't begin to understand the mysterious workings of energy, but I do know that things can be manifested.
Yeah.
They can be manifested in numerous ways that are beyond our comprehension. And
absolutely,
of course, that note on my computer was one such. But there was another time when Matthew manifested the key, the lost key to his to the trunk that he had at school. And he manifested it in the sink. And this was some 15 years after he died.
Yeah.
It was just there.
Amazing.
It was just... I had the feeling that he meant it as a signal that I needed to get in touch with a psychic reader. And indeed it was. It was to alert me to a situation.
I'll tell you something of my own experience that parallels yours up to a point. The first time I ever took a message was about 30 years before I started my present work. And it was the one and only time over that period. And I was woken up very early, in the early hours of the morning, and I just knew instinctively that I needed to take a message. And that message ended exactly the same as yours. It said, "I am that I am."
Well, okay, Mike, now you know who it's from.
Well, there you are. I thought that was quite a coincidence.
Well, it's as I have been told, there are no coincidences. Everything is a synchronous step in the way the universe operates to open windows and doors for us.
Yeah, yeah. Right, can I refer to something that was in the book, Revelations for a New Era? And it may interest our listeners to know the explanation here, where there was mention of the lesser gods.
Okay. That gets into the steps of creation. Starting with creator, Matthew told me that it's really creator slash creation. However, just for simplicity, they say creator. Creator's first expression of itself, because, and that is in no way to demean, it's like white is the composite of all colors. When white is broken down into its properties, it is all colors. And to say it encompasses everything, and not just the mother, father, that we sometimes say mother, father, God, but all of creation. So in the first expression, creator manifested or created the Christed realm. That is the origin of the souls that we call the archangels. And from there on, everything was co-creation, because the energy to create comes from Creator, and that energy is that pure essence of Creator is light, which is the same as love. It's the very same energy, but it can be expressed in different ways, as we know. All right. The Creator, in conjunction with the archangels, created the next realm, which were souls who had the potential of embodying in form or remaining in pure spirit. And those are the gods and goddesses. Now, Creator chose some of those gods and goddesses to be the rulers of the various universes. And somehow the ruler of this universe became known as God with a capital G to some of the religions that came along later. And the lesser gods and goddesses came forth on the planets in form and lived here. So it's a distinction between the gods and goddesses who are the rulers of the universes. And
can I stop you there, Susie?
Oh, yes, of course.
I wish we could go on for much longer, but I actually have to close the program a few minutes before the hour. So I'm going to have to thank you now for the wonderful interview. You're an excellent speaker, and you're a very nice lady, and I'm sure our listeners have been absolutely delighted to hear you speak. So I don't know whether there is anything you want to say finally yourself, because I want to close the program by telling our listeners who I've got coming on the interview next week. So have you any final comment?
Yes, Mike, I'm sorry, the time just got away from me. I just on behalf of Matthew and myself, I send blessings and love and peace to all, to you, my thanks to you for inviting me today, to all your listeners, and we all are adding our life to bringing heaven on earth, our light.
Thank you very much. That's wonderful. Okay, I'll say goodbye to you now, Susie, and I'll just tell our listeners that next Friday I have Richard Blackstone appearing. He's an author of a book called Nuts and Bolts Spirituality, and his object is to create a better world that honours all people. So I hope you'll be with me next week. Thank you for being with me today, and God bless you all.